Welcome to Tzardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 19. In the last parak, we heard an analogy, how Hashem is like a potter who can reshape wet clay at will into a new vessel. In this parak, we will learn what happens with pottery that is already dried and to the people who are compared to dried out pottery. Verse 1 begins, Ko Amar Hashem. This nevuah is from Hashem that Yirmiyahu should go and buy an empty bottle made of pottery, and he should be accompanied mizikne ha'am u'mizikne ha'kanahanim, from some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests who will witness his actions and represent the people. He was specifically told to buy an earthenware vessel rather than a metal bottle, as there is no way to repair or reshape pottery that has been fired in a kiln. This bottle is a receptacle and holds what is put in it. The nation and the people in that nation were supposed to fill themselves up with Torah and mitzvos, but they left themselves empty. This was an opaque bottle, so it would look the same on the outside whether it was full or empty. The Jewish people presented themselves as if they were full of worthwhile content, while really they were really hollow and empty. The Malbim says that Yirmiyahu was supposed to take a honey jar that had a narrow opening, because once the honey dries in the jar, it is impossible to completely clean the inside without breaking it. The analogy is that the Jewish people at this time are like the hardened pottery who can't be reshaped. They are like a bottle filled with honey. They filled themselves up with heretical philosophies and bad ideas that they can't get rid of no matter how many nevuos they hear. Hashem told Yirmiyahu to bring along the elders who were to serve as witnesses for this message. He should bring them to what is called Gei Ben Hinnom, the Valley of Ben Hinnom, which we heard about in chapter 7, where they burnt their sons to Tophet. As a group, they should go to Shar HaCharesis. This gate was a special gate, which is related to the word Kli Cheres, earthenware vessels. During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, whenever they would cook karbanos, they would do so in earthenware pots. And then they had to destroy these pots, as the pots were now tame and could not be made ritually pure again. These pots were the original 9x13 disposable pans. They would be thrown out next to this gate, and that's why it was called the Shar HaAshpos, the Gate of Garbage. Hashem wants Yirmiyahu to talk to the kings as well as the residents of Yerushalayim, because they bear responsibility for the actions of the nation as the leader and also as the cultural leaders. So Hashem is going to punish them in this exact spot, in such a way that Kol Shom'a Titzalna Aznav, whoever hears it, his ears will shake from the noise of the commotion. The punishment is coming, verse 4, Yan Asher Azavuni, because they left me, which means, according to the Mefarshim, they lost their passion for Torah and mitzvos and did things by rote. Vayinakru es hamakom hazeh, they changed this holy location outside of Yerushalayim to be foreign, to be culturally non-Jewish. The Das Sofrim says that the residents of Yerushalayim would never allow idol worship into their holy city. So the people who wanted to serve idols had to go to this valley, which was the closest area where they could set up shop. Vayekatru vo leluhim acherim asher lo yida'um. They served the idols which they had not known. This was the location where they served different kinds of avodah zarah. Umal'u es hamakom hazeh dam nekiim. And they filled this place with the blood of innocent people. They performed human sacrifice with their children. They built bamos, places for the Baal to offer their children as olos, burnt sacrifices. This behavior is reprehensible. Lo tzivisi, velo dibarti, velo la'osa alibi. I did not command it. I did not speak about it, nor did it enter my mind. Hashem never wanted human sacrifice, not even with Aketas Yitzchak. Hashem never planned that Avram would actually slaughter Yitzchak, so this was not something that ever entered into Hashem's mind. Lachain, the consequence is that days are coming where lo yikare lemakom hazeh od hatofes v'gei ben hinom. This place will no longer be called Tofes or Gei ben hinom, the Valley of Ben Hinnom Valley, ki'im gei haharega. Rather, it will be called the Valley of Slaughter. This place had been called Tofes, as they would beat the drums so that the parents wouldn't hear their children's screams. And it was called Ben Hinnom to commemorate the Nehimas HaBen, the groaning of the children. It will soon be called Gei HaRega, a valley of death for all the people who will die there. Hashem adds in verse 7, Vakosi as Atzas Yehuda v'Yerushalayim b'makom hazeh, and I will frustrate the council of Yehuda and Yerushalayim in this place. This is a play on words on the word bakbuk, bottle, which Yirmiyahu will break. The people are devising ways to get out of the predicted doom. They have different etzos, different plans. However, Hashem will not allow their plans to be successful. During these battles, it will be as if Hashem is throwing them on the sword and their bodies will be eaten by birds and animals, as their bodies will not be buried. Hashem will punish this city. Verse 8, and I will make this city into a waste and a hissing. This is the punishment for trying to change their city from a center of religious experience to a secular or non-Jewish location. The next pasuk, verse 9, speaks of the ultimate horror. V'alchaltim es b'sar b'nehem, and I will feed them the flesh of their sons, es b'sar b'nosehem, and the flesh of their daughters. The Malbim says that this is midah k'neged midah, a fitting punishment for their crime. They showed that they didn't care about their children. They showed that they didn't mind if they died and they were willing to burn them. So they will end up eating the flesh of all their children during the siege when there is no food. V'ish b'sar re'ehu yochelu, and each person will eat the flesh of his friend, the matzar u'matzok, during the siege and the troubles. As Yirmiyahu delivers this message, he is told to break the bottle in front of all who are with him. One is not allowed, according to halacha, to break a vessel that is still usable. It is bal tashchis. Yirmiyahu stands here and destroys this perfectly good pottery to wake the people up that the korban was tragic. Since then, says the Das Sofrim, we also break utensils, once at the engagement party and under the chuppah, to remind us how broken we are. This breaking of a usable item was shown not to be bal tashchis if it leads us to appreciate the korban and its impact on our lives. Verse 11 explains the symbolism of taking this bottle and breaking it. Kacha eshbor es ha'am hazeh v'sa'ir hazos. So I will break this people, meaning Yehuda, and this city, Yerushalayim. Kasher yeshbor es kli hayotzer, just like one breaks the potter's vessel. Asher lo yuchal hirafei od, which can no longer be fixed. You can take a piece of pottery that's broken, and the only way to get it back together is using Gorilla Glue, and even then, you haven't put it back in the proper way. Once pottery is broken, if it's tainted or broken, the only option available is to destroy it completely. These shards are never used again for anything productive. Uvitofes yikperu me'ein makom lakbor. Tofes, which is the site of the Avodah Zarah, where death was glorified, will become a mass grave until there is no more room to be buried there. While Tofes was outside the city, the same fate awaits the people in the city. The city will be like a mass graveyard, just as Tofes was the graveyard for all those children. Verse 13 continues describing the destruction that will come to Yerushalayim and compares it to Tofes. Just like Tofes was full of tumah, the homes, palaces, and villas in Yerushalayim are also tamei, impure, because kitru al gagosehem, they would sacrifice, they would offer incense on their roofs. L'chol tzva hashemayim, to all the hosts in heaven, v'asech nesachim le'luhim acherim, and they would pour libations to other gods. The people of Yehuda, who lived inside Yerushalayim, would go up to their roofs, and on top of their roof, they would serve idols. So they turned their homes, which were holy, and inside the city of Yerushalayim, into makeshift bamos, into makeshift altars that also needed to be destroyed. The parak ends with Yirmiyahu leaving the gate and coming into the Beis HaMikdash to repeat his nevuah. According to the Malbim, Hashem never told him to say this nevuah in the Beis HaMikdash, where he would be surrounded by his enemies. That wasn't a very safe way to talk. As we will see in the next parak, Yirmiyahu's life is at risk because of the reactions of those who hear this message. Verse 15, that Hashem is bringing El Ha'ir Hazos Val Kol Areha on the city of Yerushalayim and all the cities that surround it, as Kol Hara Asher Dibarti Leha, all the bad that Yirmiyahu spoke about it, Ki Hikshu Es Arpam, because they stiffened their neck, Yehuda has not changed, Levilti Shemoa Es Divarai, so that they are not listening to my words. The Malbim says that Yirmiyahu knew that at this point there was no turning back. There are different categories of nevuos. positive nevuos always come true. Negative nevuos can be rescinded by Hashem if there is tshuva. However, if a nevua is connected to an action, that nevua is going to come true. Here, Yirmiyahu did an action. He broke a bottle in connection to this nevua. By breaking the bottle, the Ramban says that it shows that this nevua will last forever. Their fate was sealed by their stubbornness and their refusal to change. In this pasuk, Hashem is called Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael, Hashem the God of Hosts, the God of Israel. Hashem is going to fight them like a general in the army, but he is still Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel who takes care of his people directly and monitors all they are doing so that he can repay them both good and bad. In this parak, Hashem told Yirmiyahu to leave the city together with an audience of nobles and break a bottle. This was to symbolize that the Jewish people who are acting like an empty bottle would be broken and could not be repaired. One lesson that we can remember from this parak is to remember that we are all empty containers to some degree. We need to be thoughtful about what we are putting in our hearts and minds and take care that our externals match the quality of what we have inside. We should know that nature abhors a vacuum. If we do not fill ourselves with worthwhile content, we will be filled with things that we do not want. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.